This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. UMass Lowell canceled classes and business operations for the second day today while investigating a possible cybersecurity breach. That's after a ransomware attack on the Massachusetts Steamship Authority earlier this month and a recent and now infamous ransomware attack on a pipeline that drove up gas prices here and across the country. Now, cyber attacks are a global threat, with President Biden making them a focal point of his much-anticipated meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin just today. But it is clear that this threat has come home to the Commonwealth. So, how vulnerable are we? Well, here to help us ask and answer that question is Hiawatha Bray, a technology writer for the business section of the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So let's size this shark, Hiawatha. How big of a threat are cyber attacks to our functioning here in Massachusetts?
Well, immense and very difficult to cope with, because the threats are on so many different levels and on so many fronts. Of course, obviously, what you've got here is living in a world in which so many of the things that we depend upon are connected to computer networks that are connected basically to the public internet. One of the weirdest things about all this is you sit there and you ask yourself, why in the world has that even happened? And of course, the answer is that there are so many benefits and so many conveniences to doing things this way that people did it without ever thinking things through. The whole rise of the internet is like that. All the way along, as we connected more and more of our lives to the public internet, you have to remember the internet was never originally designed to be used by just everybody. It was originally designed to be used by a bunch of geeks and scientists who all knew each other. So none of it had any security really built into its fundamental framework. And so now we have to go patching it as we go. And it's been a quarter of a century now, and it's clear that the problem is as bad as ever, and there's no easy solution to it. And so many systems, including even our most vital infrastructure, are connected to it, that it could cause real problems.
Okay, so that's disturbing on several levels.
Yeah.
Let's explain. Is there a simple way to explain how a cyber attack works? What happens?
Well, no, because there are so many different kinds of cyber attacks doing so many different kinds of things. I was just talking to a guy earlier today who made a fascinating point that I hadn't thought of. If you look at what's going on with Russia, for example, in a lot of cases, but not all, what you see coming out of Russia are criminal gangs that the government of Russia simply tolerates and allows to go rampaging around the world committing crimes. Partly, I think, because those same talents can be used by the government for their own political purposes when they want to. Those are some of the people who can spread misinformation on American internet sites. But those same people are allowed to commit crimes all over the world, and the Russians do nothing to stop them. And one of the things that's going to have to happen to get a handle on, for example, ransomware, much of which is a Russian phenomenon, one of the things that's going to have to happen is we're going to have to work out some kind of a deal with Russia where we give them a combination of carrots and sticks to make them say, you know what, we're not going to be a safe haven for this kind of crime anymore. We're going to put a stop to it. But then on the flip side, you look at a country like China. China is doing all kinds of things with a very much more systematic, scientific approach to trying to figure out how to gain as much access as possible to sources of information inside the United States and how to learn as much as they possibly can just about ordinary Americans. I mean, it's spooky. Remember the hack on the Office of Personnel Management, the Federal Office of Personnel Management? That whole idea apparently came out of China. And basically, they were scooping up the personnel records of millions of people who now or who in the past worked for the federal government. A lot of the stuff that the Chinese do are trying to find information just about ordinary Americans so that they can use that with artificial intelligence to figure out all kinds of ways to basically control what we do. And
so let's pick up on the Russia part.
It's just too easy. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
So let's pick up on the Russia part for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, because we know that President Biden met with President Putin of Russia today, and Russia,
right.
Putin denied Russia's role, although you just said there's a lot of reason to believe criminal organizations in Russia do this ransomware. Let me make sure I understand. Ransomware is basically locking an institution out of its own systems and saying you can't do anything and you can't get your data unless you pay us, right?
Yep, that's basically
and
it.
And people pay, right?
Oh, yeah. Very often. And
okay.
It's weird. There's a Boston-based company. This came out with a report today called Cyber Reason. They interviewed about 1,300 people worldwide. They found that about half of them had gotten hit with ransomware. And when they paid off the ransomware, about 46% of them found that they would subsequently not get back all of their data because some of it would be corrupted and damaged, even though they'd paid to get it. about 60% of them found, or sorry, it was 80% of them found that they got hit again, often by the same ransomware attackers. Because what happens is word goes around, this guy will pay. So the people who do this kind of stuff say, well, let's hit them again, let's hit them again.
So then why does anyone pay?
Companies that get hit with ransomware once will very likely get hit again.
Right, so then why does anyone pay?
Well, that's a great question. In some cases, they don't. Let's see, what was it? One of the cities, was it Atlanta or Baltimore? I think it was Baltimore. They got hit, they refused to pay. It cost them something like $10 million to fix everything. That's why they pay. But here's the problem, and this is a real challenge for the ransomware people. If you do pay and you still end up having to spend millions of dollars to fix all this stuff, sooner or later there could be a backlash and people will refuse to pay. So one of the things they're doing now is they're not just locking your data and pulling the ransomware gag. They are also stealing sensitive data from those same computer systems and saying, okay, you're not going to pay me to get your computer system unlocked. Then I'm going to take all your personnel files and dump them on the public internet. All the private information about the 100,000 to the 10,000 people who work for you, it's going to become knowledge inside the dark web and can be used to rip off the people who work for you. So they use that as an alternate way of getting people to pay. So there's just no simple solution to this short of finding a way to force countries to put a stop to this and prosecute
Hiawatha,
these people whenever they're caught.
Here in the Commonwealth, are there industries that are either specifically present here in the Commonwealth or, you know, born here in the Commonwealth that are particularly vulnerable to cyber attacks? Or is this kind of a universal threat?
It's a universal thing. I don't think there's anything special about Massachusetts. I mean, the obvious things, like you looked at the Colonial Pipeline case. There is no reason in principle why one of these days the lights won't go out because of a ransomware attack on a public utility. That happened in Ukraine, as I'm sure you've heard about. It's widely believed that the Russians were basically just firing a shot across the bow of the Ukrainians, and they basically shut off the lights of most of the Ukraine for about a day or so. It happened several years ago. And nobody doubts that such a thing could be done here. The question, of course, is how hard would it be? How quickly could we recover? That kind of thing. I don't want people to freak out in some kind of panic. There are things that you can do to mitigate the damage, but there's no surefire way of preventing this completely from happening because we're all too exposed.
So tell us some of the things individuals and people listening can do.
Well, there are obvious things you can do with ransomware, for example. The most basic thing with ransomware is make sure you've got backed up copies of all your data so that even if you can't get into your computer systems, you don't lose data. And any backups have to be disconnected from the network because otherwise they'll get in and corrupt the backups too. Other things that obviously you can do is keep your computer software up to date. It's not enough to just update, say, Windows. You have to update every piece of software on the computer. Sometimes they use a particular piece of, like the SolarWinds hack, where they were getting inside a piece of software that was designed to help keep the network safe and using that as a way to break into computer networks all over the world. It's not just the operating system. Every piece of software on your machine, you have to make sure it's got the latest updates so that it's reasonably secure. Any data that's stored on your network should be stored in encrypted form. Now, you got to decrypt it at some point to use it, but whenever the data is at rest, it needs to be encrypted already so that people can't steal it, or if they steal it, it won't be of any use to them. None of this stuff is going to be perfect, though, because all it takes is one person to make a mistake in how they configure their particular computer system, and the door is open again. So all you can do is have a complete array of policies designed to work on this from multiple angles, and including everything from prosecution to diplomatic efforts to deal with countries and persuade them to stop doing this kind of thing. It may require a sort of carrot and stick approach. Who knows? Some people have said we really need to start carrying out some hack attacks on certain countries who will not be named, and a way of saying, you know, you guys might not want to do this because we can do it back to you. That's one hypothesis that people have put forward. But the minute you start that, you get into a real hornet's nest of problems because you do it, the other guy does it, the other guy does it, back and forth, and you could have a real death spiral. So you got to be very careful, and it would be a very unusual thing to say, let's attack them just as a way of keeping them from attacking us. That could be very dangerous.
So last question to you. Do we have a sense, both in monetary cost and social cost, what the impact of this so far has been on our economy?
It's hard to say because a lot of these companies, in fact, a lot of the cases where it happens, they don't even tell us it happened. This is famous in the cybersecurity world, companies that get hit and keep their mouths shut about it. In fact, one argument that you're hearing is that there should be a law requiring all companies that get hacked to admit it or at least submit a report to the government so that we know what's going on. But nobody doubts that it's in the billions of dollars. It's not just ransomware. It's the fact that once something like this happens, the company or the government agency that's affected is going to have to go through every computer network and check every piece of code, every database, every machine to make sure they've cleaned everything up. That costs millions of dollars. And so it's not just whatever they take out of it. It's all the time it takes to fix everything. It's huge. It really is.
Hiawatha Bray, thanks for scaring us. Technology writer for the business section for the Boston Globe.
Call me back near Halloween.
There you go. Thanks, Hiawatha.